Hey everyone, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise.tv, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder.
And tonight we have an important breakdown for all of you. If you've seen the protests happening in China, you might think this is just another group of people who are fed up with things and are speaking up, and good for them. But the story in China goes much deeper into decades-long mass propaganda, technology and social media infiltration, party-sanctioned murder, and COVID lockdowns so extreme that people are being locked inside their homes even today.
Right. So tonight, we're going to go on a journey.
Nice shirt, Ben.
And tell you how the CCP's inevitable collapse, global elites, enormous companies like Apple and Twitter, and human rights are all connected. So break away from the decades of communist propaganda and listen to our take on the military tanks in the streets, the changing landscape of social media, and China's unsustainable totalitarianism.
It's time for the Edge of Wonder Live, and we'll see you out
on the edge.
That's right.
Of wonder.
Well, hello, Ben.
Hey. And if you're listening to the Edge of Wonder podcast, please leave us a 5-star rating and review and help us reach even more people. Thank you for listening.
How was your Thanksgiving, my friend?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
did
it was.
Watch?
Yeah, I did actually. So
I ate a lot, probably enough for like 30 people. Like,
wow.
Well,
yeah.
Over a few days anyway, it was like a massive amount. Like I definitely need to lose some weight, I think.
Yeah. So a couple of our fans, actually, Chris and Katie, they actually came over with all their kids, and
cool.
They live in the area, and they brought a massive roast beef prime rib thing.
Oh, prime rib is
massive. Great. It was so big. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it was kind of cool. They were just like in the area and yeah, so
that's
and
awesome.
My family and everything, so yeah, it was good.
Very yep. Cool. Well, things are heating up in China, aren't they?
They were. I mean, honestly, they still are. You're right. I mean, really,
well,
they are.
The thing is, China's
trying to crush these crackdown or the protests, you know, crack down on the protests, but how far this is going to go. I mean,
start too, isn't it? I mean,
I think this is just the start.
The fact that we've even seen that,
yeah,
is incredible.
Yeah. So how this kind of all got, I mean, for one, ever since the lockdowns, you know, China's been like insane about the lockdowns, total insanity. I mean, people are being locked in their homes completely. And what happened, what sparked these protests recently was that there was somebody in an apartment building who reportedly had COVID. So the Chinese police locked them inside this apartment building where you could not get out of this building. They had it completely shut off and everything. And a fire broke out and the people couldn't escape and 10 people died.
Whoa.
So that's kind of like the beginnings of why people were protesting. And there's a lot of videos that we have, some really interesting stuff too, of what people are saying. And, you know, I think what's so fascinating covering protests over here compared to, you know, like I was in Hong Kong for like 2 months covering the Hong Kong when people were really protesting on Hong Kong in like 2016,
the umbrella movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I think ever since Tiananmen Square massacre, there is this unrest of many people in China, especially in Hong Kong. Hong Kong have a very strong, what do I want to say?
Appreciation of freedom.
Well, they have that is 100%. And they're very biased against mainland Chinese people. Like it's almost to a point where they're very, like, if you speak Mandarin, they will look at you differently. If you have a Mandarin accent, you know, in Hong Kong, because in Hong Kong, they speak Cantonese. Yeah. So it's a little bit different, but you know, ever since Tiananmen Square massacre, I think that was kind of like one that was the first time where foreign media were in China covering a large event like that. And then when the party came in and just started using the military against the students, it got worldwide attention because it was the first time that it was really reported that something like this was going on. Mao was doing this the whole time I was in China, but you know, there was no, the media wasn't reporting on it overseas. It was just happening. So a lot of people didn't know what happened during the Cultural Revolution until after the fact. But with definitely with the Tiananmen Square massacre, and all these students were just slaughtered by it, you know, and the hopes from the CCP angle was that, oh, this is going to stop all future protests. If we use violence, everyone's going to be too scared to do anything. But, and this is like that, just Lindsay showing the famous tank scene, which, by the way,
there he is.
Yeah. By the way, this is a very big Mandela effect for me.
Why?
So I specifically remember, because it was CNN that caught this, and I specifically remember hearing the person who took this, the videographer, they were a Western person, talking about how they wish they knew what happened to the tank man after the fact. And there's many reports where people thought they ran him over, but he just walks away.
No, I recall him getting away.
Okay.
For sure. Now what happened over the next few days is a totally different story. You know,
wait, what'd you say?
I said what happened over the next couple days.
That's a different story.
I did hear some retellings of the story where the tank man was found, the guy who stood up to the tank and eventually was, you know, not handled well. But I'm not sure. And I think that what people don't really understand is about communism, really. This happened in 1989.
Yeah.
Like the Communist Party has a sort of like unwritten rule that about every 10 years they will conduct a persecution of the people to keep them in check and keep them afraid so that they don't do things like we saw out there with COVID today or over the last week, which is people coming out to protest. And that was a major step for them that they do. They conduct those about every 10 years. 10 years later, 1999, almost to the day, they started persecuting Falun Gong. A month after that. I think that was in June, wasn't it? And then the Tiananmen massacre. In July, they started persecuting Falun Dafa. And was it July 20th, right?
July 20th, 1999.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, my point is just that they purposely conduct these persecutions every 10 years in a cycle to keep everyone in check and to keep them afraid. And this is why, unfortunately, when you do talk to mainland Chinese people, they have a very different continence, like the way that they are, because they've been through a lot. They've seen a lot. They're not willing, like if you start talking to them about their country, you'll get one of two results. One is they will be very quiet and step away and think you're crazy for talking about it. Or two, they'll start defending the Chinese Communist Party because it's like been drilled into them to do that. So that why? So that they don't themselves get persecuted. It's like a Manchurian effect of sorts, but like mass populace, like has been through that.
Right.
So it's really challenging. I mean, it's a very challenging situation over there. And so amazing that the people actually got out into the streets. The only way that would have happened is if they were pushed extremely far to the point where they now want to speak what's on their mind. But those tanks came in and they dispersed pretty quickly, didn't they, Ben?
Yeah, that's what happened recently. So once the protests started happening, then the CCP brought in the tanks, and there's actually videos of Tanks, same similar thing, going through the streets, you know, having now a curfew and arrest. I mean, it's insane. It's like, this is why it drives me insane. People over here are like, well, you know, capitalism working, and capitalism isn't working, and we need communism because that seems to work in some ways. And it's like, no, have you been to China? Like, it doesn't matter who you are. They will arrest you on the street and you have no trial. You're thrown into prison
or a labor camp or whatever. Yeah.
So this is a interesting video. I thought it was, you know what, Lindsay? I have the wrong video up there. Sorry. Okay, I got to find the right one. There was one that has subtitles. I was thinking that was it. And it's not. So I will find.
This video is of all the KKK members in China. Just kidding.
According to CNN. Nah, but these the again, you know, these are the what we're seeing are the protesters in this video, and then of course these are like the police that are dressed in like the hazmat gear, like just completely going crazy with these with the people and the lockdown. I mean, you know, it's like, imagine if we were still under lockdown to this day, where it's like you can't hardly do anything, and it was like that. Now they opened up Wuhan for a little while, and then as soon as like someone gets COVID, it's like on lockdown again practically. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, we're gonna be dealing with this for a while. But what makes these protests so fascinating is how they were spread very quickly all throughout China. So it wasn't just one specific area, which is what the CCP fears so much. And Rob, why don't you give your take on why you think like what? So over here, obviously, we can protest, right? I mean, there's
we have the illusion that we can protest.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, as long as you're burning down a warehouse, it's okay, you know. If you're protesting in DC, then it's like you can't do that. This is the video. So they're basically saying, is it Stalin? Is it Lenin?
Who are the foreign forces that are interfering with the country right now? So now, can you pause it for a sec, Lindsay? Okay. So the reason why this is significant is because what the Chinese Communist Party has done is they started spreading this rumor that the protests were being caused by foreign infiltration.
Yes,
essentially. They were. The foreign infiltration being like non-communist countries like Europe or America. So non-communist countries. And so they start spreading this and like they're publishing it on all the news media that it's foreign infiltration, it's foreign interference. And these people are just like not believing it. And they're like, what foreign infiltration? What foreign, is it Lenin? Is it Stalin? Cause those are the foreign like interference that's the true foreign interference. Yes. Is communism. So they're like actually saying that in response to that propaganda that's being
out here. Yeah. Because I mean, reality, they know that we're protesting because you're locking us up and people are dying and you're not doing anything about it. And, you know, this again, the CCP, like what you said, the CCP is trying to say like, oh no, it's like, you know, this unrest is caused by some foreign influence. And it's like, what are you talking about? But, you know, again, so they have this ultimate fear of these because they've been lying to the people for so long. And I think that's like the crux of this. It's like all the media is controlled by the CCP. Essentially it's almost like what's happening over here in a lot of ways with the media over here.
But they're like 20 years ahead of us in that.
It's more like than that, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Really, ever since like probably before Tiananmen Square. So in the 80s, especially when Mao took over, not to mention what they're taught in their textbooks are party approved history. So imagine like, you know, something couldn't be taught in school unless it went through
We talk about the victors writing history, but in China, it's just it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, and it's like, it's all, and over here, we can at least vote for who we want president. Over there, it's just the party approves that their own person. They're the next person to come in power. Basically, they choose the person that is kind of like the most evil person. Jiang Zemin, who initiated the persecution of Falun Gong or Falun Dafa, like what Rob was talking about earlier, he was chosen by, I think it was Dao Xiaoping, because Jiang Zemin was the only, and he was kind of a low-level official at the time, but this is ugly, very evil dude. So he was the only one that was happy to carry out the order of bringing in the tanks to kill the students for the Tiananmen Square massacre.
He's particularly vicious.
Yeah, and that's the reason why he was able to rise to power. Because they're like, okay, this dude's evil enough that we can put him in this position of power. And then, of course, then he's the one single-handedly that started the persecution of Falun Gong. And his wife was actually a practitioner at the time, or at least reading and doing the exercises. So it was another thing. And then, but there was a whole scandal that came out with him. And anyway, everyone's saying
he's
a lizard.
For people who haven't heard of it before, what is Falun Gong or Falun Dafa?
Yeah, so for those of you here who maybe haven't heard of it, it is the most persecuted spiritual movement in China. And they're just peaceful people. Basically what happened in the early 90s, this practice, it's a Qigong practice, it just started being spread all throughout China. And it was reintroducing the true Chinese culture back into China. And so because of that, very naturally it spread, I mean, throughout China. And it was like completely like just re-energizing the Chinese people. It was healing, like a lot of people were getting healthier bodies. They were happier. They were doing better at work. It spread throughout all of China really quickly. In less than 10 years, about 100 million people were practicing all over China. And it's no political affiliations or anything like that. Literally, it's just based on truth, compassion, and tolerance, and meditating in parks and stuff like that. And in 1999, like we were talking about, this guy, Jiang Zemin, decided an all-out persecution on Falun Gong to make a point that it had grown too large. There were too many people that were practicing it. There were people in the Chinese Communist Party at the time around Jiang Zemin that were practicing Falun Gong. And he just was determined to persecute the practice. And usually in China, anything that they want to persecute, it would take 3 days to suppress. That's it. Just 3 days. And it's been over 20 years now, and they have not been able to suppress these people, because these people's like lives were like totally changed and improved from the meditation practice and from the Qigong practice. So they just keep practicing. They don't want to give up their belief. So very inspiring. Like the stories that come out of China from the people that have persevered are like tearjerkers, amazing breath, like just,
yeah.
Wow.
And even miraculous. There's a lot of stories of like, you know, people getting beaten by police officers and it's like
changing them.
Like the police officers just like either stop, or even there's stories of like they just physically can't beat them anymore, or something breaks, or like
it's literally a testament to like the human spirit, like nothing I've ever seen.
It really is. Like I remember there was a story where someone was locked in and they just had this like really strong thought of, I'm not going to be locked in here. I'm doing something righteous and they're doing something evil, and I'm going to be able to open this door. And it's like, they just opened the door and literally just walked out, you know? And it's just like, it's like so determined in your mind where you have like zero doubt whatsoever. And especially in that situation, it's like, it's so hard for us as humans to like even have that like resolve, especially if you're like,
and I mean, tortured. You know, like it's crazy. Like the persecution itself is crazy. And it's not, obviously it's not just Falun Gong either. Like China, like,
oh, well, like underground Christians are the next group that are being,
and the Uyghurs are being persecuted terribly. Like it's like, it's just, it's not an even playing field in China. It's they persecute anything that it's kind of anything that threatens what they think threatens the existence of the CCP, which is by nature atheist.
Right.
It doesn't answer to the CCP.
Right. You know, like, it doesn't at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, I know there's a lot of people wondering like, well, why this, or why, like, how are they able to kind of do this? Like, what's kind of going on? And the main thing is like, this is like, to the CCP, this is a threat because it stands for everything that the party is against. It's like the party got to where it is based on lies, deceit, deception, violence, and hate. So the party, or the practice, is about like being truthful, compassion, and tolerance. And it just goes against the very nature of what the party stands for. So if the party like even accepted a little bit, then it's like, well, we can't be truthful because we're going to lose power if we tell everybody like what's going on and who we are and why we're doing this. Right. I mean, like how we got here. So it was like the only option that they felt they had was like, in order to maintain this power, we're going to persecute this. And Jiang Zemin literally thought within 3 months, this would be wiped out. And instead it completely, like he got pushed out of power eventually because he was getting too insane and using all the country's resources to persecute this. Doesn't matter if you're old or young or whatever, they were going around anywhere, arresting all kinds of people for practicing this, killing people. Then they had all these people in campsites, and a lot of like slave labor was being done. But unfortunately, like the big thing, which we do talk a lot about on the show now, that came out, was the organ harvesting, the live organ harvesting. And actually, Lindsay, I have a link in our doc if you can pull that up. There was a report by the Epoch Times. It was a very extensive report. I think Matthew Robertson, who did this, spent a long time on this article looking up everything. And basically what they found was that there was many hospitals being built that were specifically being built for murder, actually.
I did that illustration.
the one there. On top?
Yeah, that hospital illustration. I did that. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's cool. So yeah, and so and it goes into detail of how they specifically found this information out, like, because many doctors were bragging, like one doctor came out and said he did such and such eye transplants for in a single year, and I can't remember the exact number that he did, but it was like, oh yeah, you know. And but then again, China doesn't have an organ donation system. So the problem is with this is that you have a country that doesn't have a organ donation system, that technically it would only look like they're only doing a couple hundred transplants a year, mostly from like either family members that are donating or prisoners of conscience that they have. And but all of a sudden they're realizing, well, how in the world does this hospital that have like 2,000 beds are constantly being full, and they're talking about how many organ transplants, and that China is the world capital for transplants, yet there's no system and there's no donation. So well, in the world are they doing this? And this article really breaks down how much money is coming in, billions of dollars, and just how it was just so spread in China. And a conservative number is that they're estimating about, well, they know for sure there's been hundreds of thousands of deaths, but really it's more like probably millions of a year that this has been affecting. And it's like 2 months you could get a new heart if you you can go to China. Or I mean, sorry, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, not
yeah,
2 weeks.
And actually, they had some, that hospital in Tianjin had some relationship, I recall, with one of the hospitals in Pennsylvania somewhere. I think it was in Pittsburgh. And so there was stuff routing between these two hospitals, and it's pretty creepy. Like they weren't even questioning where these organs were coming from.
Nobody was. Because everybody was making
an old, like, how can you do, like, think about how
it takes 4 years to get a heart in the US.
Think about how little it happens that someone just happens to get into an accident, their life is in peril, but the heart can get donated. Like, it's, man.
Well, we need to play a trailer, and then we'll come back and kind of get into our next topic, but kind of give some statistics here that I found too.
Yeah, and you guys, so all of this information that we're talking about now, we're not even doing it justice in comparison to what we did in our communism series that's on Rumble, and it's on Rise TV. So if you want, check out our series on communism that goes through everything, the entire history up until today. It goes the ins and outs of socialism, what happened in Russia, China, its creation. Very, very weird stuff we found. So check out this trailer.
150 years in the making. The ultimate evil specter. Lies, hatred, and struggle. Traditions destroyed. The deep state cult, communism.
Well, you guys, you can find that on our rise.tv. And I think that's also on Rumble.
It is. We put it all on Rumble.
Yeah, just because it's such a great...
Everybody needs to watch that. Honestly, every kid in the country should watch that series.
We put so much into that communism series. And there's a book, Nine Commentaries on the Chinese Communist Party that came out that really goes into detail. I think one of the main issues that, you know, I was kind of touching on it earlier is that over here in the US, a lot of people don't understand the communist mindset and why, one, it goes against any kind of spiritual and religious point of view, because it at its core, it is atheist, because whatever the head is, the party is always at the front and center and is like basically your God. So everybody in China, it's like, you have to literally, like, no joke, when you're at a dinner table, you give thanks to the party for providing you food. Then you can give thanks to whatever God or whatever belief that you have afterwards. So anything that goes against that is, you know, Falun Gong practitioners, and then also the underground Christians, because in China, the Bible is censored. It's got to be an approved Bible by the CCP, and many of the teachings of Jesus have been removed from that version of the Bible that's approved. So there's a huge movement to bring in the real uncensored Bibles, and the CCP have been attacking churches, destroying churches that they're finding, and arresting lots of strong Christian faiths. So it's people of Christian faith. So it's been very, it's just super bizarre and weird. And then the media, it's just repeating all these lies 24/7, and they just make up stuff, whatever they want. You know, they'll say like they're crazy, yeah, they murder people or whatever, you know, and it's just on this news cycle constantly. But I'm sorry, what were we going to say, Rob?
No, nothing. I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, you know, there's just this, and then of course the slogan for the party is it's always correct, glorious, and
great, glorious, and correct. I believe it is. Yeah.
So anyway, and then of course, you know,
and actually it's hard to understand this as Westerners, but they've tried their best to build this into people's way of thinking. that if it wasn't for the Chinese Communist Party, they wouldn't be alive. It's the Chinese Communist Party that has allowed for their life. So they should worship the Chinese Communist Party as if it's a deity. Think about it. Imagine being hit with this for 70 years straight, you know, or 50 years, whatever it is. It wears on people because it's not just it pervades every part of their current shabby culture, you know? And we're not talking about the ancient culture. The ancient culture is great. It's the one being suppressed right now. We're talking about their current ridiculous, you know, ridiculous culture.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the bodies exhibit too. And I was just talking to somebody recently. I can't remember now who I was talking to that they thought it was like really, really weird. They're in, cause there's a permanent exhibit in Vegas in one of the hotels. And
you can take it down. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Super crazy.
Yeah.
So what is the bodies exhibit?
The bodies exhibit. If you went to the bodies exhibit, we've talked about this on the show before. All of the cadavers are Asian. Why? These are political dissidents that China has put to death in order to use their young, healthy bodies to show in an exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've done.
Yep. And it's crazy too, because they have like stages of like a woman giving birth, and they have each month of what the baby looks like. And you're just like, you're telling me that this like healthy woman different women here, like all like donated their bodies at different stages of birth. Like, come on, like that's impossible. So anyway, it all started getting exposed, and the BBC actually had a really good documentary about it, because they went to China and trying to find the factories where the bodies were being made and processed. And they weren't allowed in. And then they actually got arrested by the police. And it was really fascinating to them what they were uncovering. And it was a really shady area of China where these were happening. It wasn't like in a nice facility. It was like in a warehouse, literally. So it's all like, yeah, all of this is really, really crazy. But, you know, so with these protests, getting back to the protests and kind of what's happening right now, one of the main things that they were saying, demanding, was to Xi Jinping to step down. And of course, like, he would never step down. Like, he would rather, I mean, I'm not over exaggerating, he would probably let China burn in flames than to still step down. But what's your understanding of that?
It's really, you know, okay, I'm gonna let loose on you for a minute.
Yeah, do it.
What I think is going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think from our research on what's going on in China and the different factions that are in China, those protests sprang up originally in Shanghai, right? Okay. And what was going on in Shanghai was, several months ago, they started to try to keep everyone in their homes. They wouldn't let anyone out. They basically burned down all of the food. People were even dying in their houses. They were jumping off buildings. It was like crazy what was going on in Shanghai. Still doing it to this day. Even setting up, like, I don't know what you want to call them, like prison clinics, because the zero COVID policy, they're taking it so seriously to stamp out COVID that they're just suppressing the people, keeping them in their homes. And look, people are going to crack after a while, and they're going to stop. It's like their life is no better than death anyway, so why not just come out and protest like this, right? Makes it so crazy is that Shanghai and Wuhan are largely controlled by the Jiang Zemin faction. Xi Jinping and his faction, he's in Beijing. He's been slowly arresting a lot of the people from that faction, but Jiang Zemin and his son are still controlling. It's like their own deep state over there, really.
Different
factions and stuff like that. Yeah. Shanghai, Wuhan, really controlled by this guy Jiang Zemin, right? So in a way, Xi Jinping, the fact that the protests were happening there, he might actually like the fact that they were happening there. But you see, the complications of it is it makes Jiang Zemin and his faction look weak if the protests are there, in a way. but they're demanding Xi Jinping to step down. So now Xi Jinping looks weak if he doesn't do anything. And so he's at this situation where he's like, I don't know what to, you know, like, what's going on in his head, really? Because, like, what it's communicating if he doesn't step in, and if he does, it's like these are the things that like the infighting that goes on in China all the time, right?
Yeah.
So eventually, the tanks were sent in, and it dispersed everything, right? But the fact that they were out there protesting for as long as they were.
Actually, that's a good point, Rob.
Shows their weakness right now, because that would never have been allowed to that extent, right? And they didn't even kill anyone. They just kind of marched the tanks in, and then everyone dispersed. So it's a really interesting time right now. What just happened, I believe, is propelling the dissolving of the Chinese Communist Party because of the infighting and all of that stuff that's going on. Like it's actually accelerating the dissolving of the Chinese Communist Party. We're going to see it happen in our lifetimes. We're going to see it happen.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm thinking, like, we're talking about days to years here. It could be like it should have fallen easily a few years ago, but it keeps getting propped back up by different things. So I think we're starting to see a lot of this stuff. It's only going to get worse until finally it's just gone.
Yeah,
it'll be gone overnight, and it's going to affect everything.
Well, it would for sure. And it's interesting, you know, I didn't think about why the protests were allowed to go on for so long. That's a very interesting, because because where they were happening, and it's this whole thing is this political chess game, because, you know, and we kind of bring this up a lot on the show, because everyone's asking, well, is Xi Jinping a white hat? Is he a black hat, gray hat? Like, what is he? You know, and it's like he is working for himself.
He's a she hat.
Yeah, he's a she hat.
He's just for himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna use anything that will make sure that he maintains power and preserves the party. That's all.
But
he's
the thing is,
do,
it's
right?
Like, look. Here's the thing. I don't agree or disagree really with Xi Jinping yet. I don't know. Like he hasn't positioned himself. Like we're still waiting to see what does it, like this guy right now, he's in a situation where he could potentially wipe the CCP out and become like one of the greatest historical figures of all time for doing that, or he will go down with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If he truly was working for the people, he would be like, you know what? I'm going to end the CCP right now. I'm going to end the
party. Best thing you could do.
Because it's like it's so corrupt from its core, right? The foundation of it was built on corruption. There's nothing you can save from the party. So it's like, okay, I'm going to just if he eliminated this and said, you know what? We're going to dissolve the party. We're going to dissolve communism. We're going to go into a democratic country, and we're going to have a real election. Then it's like, dude, the people would vote for him. And especially if he's like, we're going to end these persecutions and actually talk about that. I mean, he would literally, okay, Lindsay, you can take him off. That's fine. He would literally be like, you know, the like you said, he would almost be like the hero of China. But if he doesn't do anything and the CCP falls, then he's going to be looked at as like, oh, it's all his fault. You know, he's the one, and he's going to go down
with all of the consequences.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he really gets the situation that he's in, you know, like,
I know. And I mean, he has been doing, okay, so there has been some good things that he has been doing. He has been arresting a lot of the people that were working for Zhang that was doing a lot of these persecutions and killing a lot of people, but it wasn't made public. It was like, I'm arresting this person, which is public, but just on corruption.
Right. It was like corruption. It was like, oh, you know, like let's arrest Al Capone for tax evasion.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it right there. That's exactly what happened.
Well, but it's like so he's like cleaning up the corruption, but it's also self-serving in a way, because it's allowing him to keep his reign,
right?
You know, his control. So it's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's on the razor's edge right now, and we've got to see what decisions he makes. And You know, can he pull out of this and gain some clarity and like,
well, not to mention all the companies that are in countries that have all these ties with China, because it's like, and we're going to get into that later, but it's like, what are political people, what are political leaders really kind of saying to this? And it's so fascinating because everyone's kind of tied into this. So it's like on the surface, it's like, and actually one of the other things that we wanted to kind of get into was Apple and Twitter and all these things going on, because Apple's really hitting hard against Elon because of what Elon is doing. And, you know, he's allowing basically freedom of speech, legit freedom of speech on the platform. Apple's threatening all of a sudden, like, we're going to pull out. But yet Foxconn, where the facility where all the iPhones are being made, there's a massive protest there, and people even have committed suicide over the conditions because they're basically being put into slave labor over there. And it's like, you don't hear Apple talking about that or threatening China. And instead, Apple did the opposite of the protests. They bowed to China and restricted people in China from sharing.
They were airdropping. Everyone was airdropping information.
Yeah, because it was the only way that they could do it. They're like, hey, I got this video. I'm going to just airdrop it to everybody so we all have it. And they were doing this all throughout the protests, and Apple cut them off.
Apple cut off the use of airdrop.
But yet they're like threatening to have Twitter off their platform. But, you know, so what's, I think what on a deeper level, what's really happening is that I think the CCP is putting pressure on a lot of companies because there's so much. I mean, imagine if Xi Jinping, you know, calls up Tim Cook and says, hey, I see this whole thing. What's going on with Twitter? Well, you still want to make your iPhones in China?
Yeah. And so, okay, this is where it's getting a little bit interesting. So what's actually going on here? This is the first time I've seen Apple's.
This is an interesting tweet.
Okay. You want to read this? Go ahead.
Yeah. So this was a tweet that was sent out by Texan Consultant One. These companies riding their high horses and condemning Elon Musk for ethereal. Is that right?
Ethereal. Yeah.
Moral crimes. Have nothing on which to stand. They are so complicit in the outright murder and imprisonment of millions. This isn't about right and wrong. It's about power and power alone. And it was responding to a tweet that was like, Apple, Google, and other tech companies like Cisco have actively assisted China in identifying dissenters in their population. These people were arrested, tortured, imprisoned, and murdered. The companies so many worship today sacrificed morality for access to Chinese markets.
Well, and it wasn't just access to Chinese markets. It was access to a greater margin on their goods. Mm-hmm. So getting their iPhones made in China, they probably got their iPhones made for a couple of bucks and they're selling them for thousands. So if you look at it from that perspective, it's like if the iPhone takes 20 bucks to make through the Chinese factories, how much would it take in America? It might take like $900, like $700 to make here, or $500 to make here, because this is normal people, right?
Right. Completely. And China's having a monopoly over the chips right now too, which is what this whole deal was with Taiwan and the semiconductor. That's another whole other topic with all of this. So, and this guy, he makes some interesting tweets. This Kevin.
Oh, Kevin Sorbo. Yeah. Hercules. He was Hercules from the 90s, that show.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah, this is Kevin Sorbo.
I have no idea. That's so funny. So he's saying, so Apple is willing to ban Twitter from their store, but not TikTok. Makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. And because and the reason why this is so big is because it came out that TikTok, when you install it on your phone, has access to every aspect of your phone, even the credit cards that you enter in through other apps. And it's monitoring every single thing on your phone.
TikTok is not really an app. It's like a payload, a surveillance payload.
designed, and it's like it was like designed this way on purpose. No,
and you know, to be fair, all of them are to some extent, really they are, but TikTok is particularly vile.
Yeah, well, it's it's like Facebook is connected to three-letter agencies over here and TikTok is connected to the CCP over there, and some people might be like, well, yeah, you know, but it's China and you know, I'm over here and it doesn't really matter too much, but it's like, no, they are literally creating databases of every single American who could be a potential quote unquote threat to the actual party. So it's like, this is why it's one, why it's so dangerous. Two, they've infiltrated our country, not by using force, but by using all these like businesses, schools, all these different ways. And it's like all these people are actually like trying to like working for the CCP as like spies potentially. And they are looking to see, you know, how can they take over America and take down America, and not by force, but by doing it this way. And this is why it's just kind of dangerous, because then, you know, and then you have Google building their system. What is it? Again, the face recognition, the social, what is it called?
Social credit system?
Yeah. So Google built that for them.
Well, yeah. Eric Schmidt, the word on the street is that Eric Schmidt was forced to release that and build that software for them. Yeah. That's what the intel said. Now, do can we know for sure? We're not positive, but
we do know for sure that there is a photo of Eric Schmidt in North Korea with Kim Jong-un, and they're looking at a computer, and it's a legit photo, 100% real. A couple weeks after that photo was published, Eric Schmidt stepped down from Google. So that's been 100% confirmed. So if he was in North Korea, which wasn't even announced, most likely he was in China too, and they probably paid him a lot of money. So
right. So on the business side of this whole thing, what's going on with Apple and Tesla? A lot of people are kind of talking about this. Not Apple and Tesla, Apple and Elon, really. We should say Elon more accurately, right?
Actually, they're calling him Spaceman. You know, they're like Orange Man, Bad. Yeah, we're calling him now Spaceman.
You can call him Electric Car Man Bad.
What's the Spaceman doing?
Okay, so you've got a situation where Elon actually makes a move to try to create freedom of speech through an app, or to protect freedom of speech through the app Twitter. He brings back accounts that have wrongly been taken off, which was an act of justice, you know, when we look at what was really going on, when reality of what was really going on. If you look at what is going on right now, the only guy on planet Earth Apple probably shouldn't screw with is Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk makes rockets and Tesla vehicles, really good ones. He infiltrated markets that have never been infiltrated before and successfully did it. When he infiltrated the car market with Tesla, everyone told him he was crazy. It was impossible. There's no room for that. It'll never happen. There was threats and all kinds of things, but he did it. So when we've got like Apple here. Now, Apple has been in secret developing a few pieces of technology. One of the pieces of technology they've been creating is a VR XR headset. And another one is an Apple car to compete with Tesla. So they're like them taking Twitter down off of the App Store could position Elon to make a move to actually create a Tesla or a Twitter phone that could compete with the iPhone. And for the first time I've seen it, Apple stock has been hit over the last week because of the move they made in China and because of all of this nonsense they're doing with Twitter and Elon Musk. And so,
yeah, this is going to affect their stock.
100%. Now, yes, the thing is now, well, we're talking about billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, right? Like, I think Apple is like the first $1 trillion company. But like, are they really like, we're not talking about them going up against Samsung or going up against like Cricket or something. We're talking about them going up against the only guy on the planet that can amass the forces to compete with Apple. Now, yeah. Some people might not believe that, but it's very, very, it's very interesting what's going on, like what could potentially come about from this. And regardless, what either of them produce are going to support, you know, Klaus Schwab's wet dream of the fourth industrial revolution. But so, like, I don't think it'll necessarily be, you know, completely stonewalled. But yeah, very, very interesting stuff going on right now.
Yeah, and well, the other, this whole thing with Apple and Elon and all of this, you know, it's just really, really weird how much it's really opening up. And, you know, like whatever, you know, I know there's a lot of different opinions on Elon and everything else. I mean, honestly, I think that he's probably the biggest threat to like the World Economic Forum.
Elon Musk is like, kind of in a way.
Like what you could say.
Because it was Twitter that was pushing the 2020 agenda.
It was
pushing, I mean, the 2030 agenda, excuse me, by the UN and that WEF is doing, right?
Yeah, and by the way, well, I don't know how much I can say, but I do, you know, Elon mentioned it because they're like, oh, you should develop your own phone or something. And he kind of like responded like, yeah, you know, from what I have heard that there are some things in progress that are moving forward and they've been moving forward. So it's going to be interesting to see if it can compete with Apple and Samsung. But you know, a lot of articles I was reading, like for example, BlackBerry, you know, BlackBerry was a Canadian company and they weren't really being manufactured in China. And I honestly think that Apple and Samsung pushed them out on purpose to eliminate the competition, because all of a sudden that's when they moved to China. And basically, I mean, you can only get an Apple or Samsung, but I mean, not Samsung, Android. And that's it. You know, I mean, granted you have different phone, it's kind of like a PC, you have different brands that make this, but you're still running the same software on these phones. And you can't have another phone and it's like, well, I'm going to download Facebook. And it's like, you know, this is why everyone was kind of there's people on the internet criticizing Elon because he said, well, Apple takes 30%. And then people are like, well, that's not really a secret. Everyone knows that. The problem is that they have a monopoly on the apps. You can't, I mean, even if you had another phone, you know, how does it work and what is it, how will all this happen? So there's a lot of questions, but now all of a sudden, like Elon's there, he's seeing everything that went on the back end, and he's probably seeing all the deals that have been made, the connections to the CCP that Twitter had, which is very, very strong. What was allowed on Twitter, and through these protests, some Chinese pro CCP sites or accounts were tweeting spam, all this porn basically, to try to override the China protests,
these bots and things.
Yeah, it was all bots, and there was some phrases that were trending on Twitter because people were noticing this, you know. And all of these are, of course, are bot accounts in China. So, and they have like phone farms, basically, like a whole room full of phones.
This technology stuff is like really, really weird. It's critical, actually, the discussion, because remember the before and after photo we saw of Twitter? Like before were like all of the like blonde pumpkin spice latte drinking women. And then after was like it was basically like hardcore coder dudes, right?
Yeah.
Think about it right now. What's going on at Apple is a complete liberal takeover, much that we're seeing at Disney.
That's a good point.
You get a guy like Elon Musk promising those dudes a place that they can do what they love and do a great job and work hard and get bonuses for it. Who are they going to work for, Ben? They are going to offboard Apple so fast and go over to whatever Elon Musk is doing. No problem at all for him to do. Whatever. And dude, these will be people who offboard Apple to go over and work with Elon on whatever it is that he wants.
And Google. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
100%.
So and what then we're talking about right now is they're seeing what's going on, and this is way crazier than they thought. And also, Elon is not a dumb dude. Like, okay, in the 2000s, Ben, what did we see? We saw the iPod. The iPod came, it exploded. Apple revolutionized music, right? At the end of the 2000s, they introduced the iPhone. And for the 2010s, the iPhone just completely demolished all competition. Like when we're talking about BlackBerry, it was the introduction of the iPhone in 2008 that was the BlackBerry's utter demise, because it introduced a smartphone interface that allowed them to basically wipe out BlackBerry. BlackBerry just couldn't keep up with the technology that Apple was putting out, because Apple rules the technology, the hardware, okay? But the thing is, the next step is not the iPhone. The next step is VR, XR headsets. Do you know what XR is? AR? AR, VR? Yeah. Okay.
I do, but why don't you explain
what it is? So VR is virtual reality. That's the big headset that goes on, completely takes over everything, and you're like in a world or whatever, right? AR is augmented reality. Augmented reality is a combination where it's like, you know, the Tony Stark stuff where he's like flipping stuff around. He can see it in this dimension, but he can see everything else out there. It's like glasses that you put on. That's AR. XR is a mixture of both, where you can go either you can go full immersion, which is VR, or half immersion, which is AR. Okay. They're going to start developing headsets where you can do everything that you could, like you'd have those things that Tony Stark had around his arm, and you could access stuff on your body from the chip that's in your glasses, and you won't need a phone anymore. If Elon wants to get into the phone game and he wants to start developing stuff, he could very easily go in and start competing with Apple on the next stage of wearables, which is going to be not an iPhone. The iPhone is going to become obsolete, and you're going to get glasses. You're going to get augmented reality stuff, right? So it's very interesting. It's interesting to see what happens.
You know, something I wanted to bring up real quick, I'm going to share this. So I didn't realize, you know, that video that we were watching earlier, it looked like it was a China protest and the hazmat. That was actually in front of Foxconn, where they make the iPhones. So there was a massive violent protest from the workers that broke out in Foxconn. And then they came back and said, so the headline of this is Foxconn offers to pay workers to leave world's largest iPhone factory after violent protests. So in other words, it's like they're basically bribing them, saying, here, we'll give you money if you stop protesting.
Gosh, how pathetic is that?
Yeah. And so most of them didn't want to do that. They also offer to pay new recruited workers $1,400 to quit and leave. So it's just really strange stuff. So anyway, so I just wanted to clear that up, because I realized, like, oh yeah. So again, this is where they make most of the world's phones and some computers. And it's like, you know, everyone's silent. Apple's not saying anything. Conveniently, Apple just, like, they deleted their Twitter account right when all this happened. You know, is that the real reason why they deleted it? So people wouldn't bring attention to that. You know, it's really weird. I don't know. I'm just asking questions, because it's all like really strange timing. And then DeSantis came out today blasting Apple for what they're doing. And there was a pretty interesting video basically of him kind of like just kind of ranting on Apple. And not, you know, it's like you're doing this to Twitter, but you're not even doing it to your own facility that makes these phones, and the people over there are suffering, and you're not even saying anything about it. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. But before we leave Rumble, We got to show this though. Lindsay, can you play this Ricky Gervais on Apple video? It's a little, yeah. Oh my gosh. You got to, now this is a little bit older, but it's just, everyone's been sharing this on Twitter.
Oh, Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama. Yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So if you win, right?
I forgot how funny this was.
Accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and fuck off, okay? So, oh, Apple.
Man, if people were laughing, that's great.
Because they know.
He told everyone to F off.
They know.
He will never, ever be allowed to host another one of those again, but God bless him.
Yeah. Okay, so we do need to play a really quick trailer, and then we're going to stay on Rumble for a little bit longer. But Lindsay, can you, this is our holiday promo. So you guys, we have a holiday special promo going on if you when you subscribe to rice.tv. Sorry.
For the yearly subscription.
For the yearly subscription.
I think the trailer will say it all.
I guess it will.
Are inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month. In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas. No censorship. No anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith and where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The hot pepper chip challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month. What a steal!
Ah, the smirking guy.
That is hilarious.
How I'm the shrugging guy. Yeah, the shrugging guy.
The shrugging guy. Yeah. Smirking, shrugging.
I have a shirt of him somewhere.
Someone made it. Somebody made a shirt of the shrugging guy. Yeah, I was like, I can't believe a fan made this for us. That's so funny. But yeah, anyway, it's just kind of crazy stuff. Well, okay, man, we're like going over here. Well, okay, kind of like continue on with this. And then when we get over, we're definitely going to talk about the political angle to this and what all the political people have been saying about it, about, I mean, the protests in China and why that matters. Actions speak louder than words in this case. But, there was that whistleblower that came out talking about how Twitter is basically bowing to China and
Twitter
how,
yeah, or Apple
Twitter. This was before Elon took over.
Oh, got it.
So what's interesting is that this is going to be really, really interesting to see this dynamic now. And also because of Tesla, Tesla cars are being, their battery aspect of it are being manufactured in China. So it's like, this is going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. This is one of the things that I don't really agree or really kind of like what Elon is doing, working with China so closely with Tesla. But, you know, maybe things are going to change once he kind of sees on the back end, and he's going to have access. He has access to all of it now. What's really going to happen? But this headline is Big Tech Whistleblower Exposes Twitter's Close Relationship with the Chinese Communist Party. So so officially, the government, I don't even want to call them the government, the regime in China have banned Twitter. You know, so you can't access, like, you can't access Facebook either in China. Basically, any kind of free information that people can see in the world, because there's no way to have a China Twitter where people in China are only using that. So that's why it's a threat against the party, because it's like, oh, well, people can look up anything, and can you ban these words, which is what Apple was doing. So Apple was banning certain words on certain one of their platforms inside China. All companies are doing this. Google's doing this. Basically, almost everybody is doing it to make sure that they can't get outside information. But the whistleblower disclosed information to the FBI that at least one Chinese agent was working within Twitter. And that's just one. And that's what they do. That's why this is a threat. They're like, hey, you want to work with us? You know, we have all the people over here and everything else. You know, and then they were like, yeah, we want to work with you. And then it's like, here's money exchanged, everything else, but we want you to hire these people in your company. And that's how they essentially start blackmailing and taking over companies from the inside. So sorry, that was kind of a little bit of rant there. I don't know if you ever want to add on to any of this, Rob.
I mean, no, they're just master infiltrators. That's what they do. And it's in so many different ways. I mean, the police departments that were set up in Manhattan and Toronto.
Oh, dude, that is so freaking weird. Yeah. We didn't even really talk about that on the show.
I know. And like, the thing is like, why did they set those up? Well, there's a few reasons. One is, it's to threaten their own patriots, the patriots of China. And I don't mean patriot in the sense of like patriot flag bearing patriots. I mean like actual people that are Chinese resident or cardholders. So why did they actually make those police stations there? It's easier for them to control their own people that still answer to China and to have them do more things for them. Especially when the Confucian Institutes are being like, okay, if you guys don't know what the Confucian Institutes are, Ben, you can explain what the Confucian Institute is pretty well, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, they were rejected in the US, but there's still some in Canada, and there's a lot of backlash against them. And basically, they were CCP funded institutions, like almost like school institutions. But they were being heavily controlled, brainwashed, places where essentially they were grooming people to be pro CCP or people that are going to be party members and everything else. And they used, because, you know, it's like Confucius Institute sounds so nice, you know, it's like, oh, wow, Confucius Institute. That sounds like really noble and upright. And it's like the least thing that it actually was. And there was all these back deals being made and like all this stuff. And
all of these like requests for these different people, a part of it to do, you know, surveillance type things.
Yes.
Yeah. So like spy things. And so, you know, now the Confucian Institutes are basically out and rejected. Isn't it convenient that this police department just happens to come in and they have access to the Chinese, you know, the Chinese community there, where, you know, they can basically go in and bully them or do whatever they want to ask them for whatever.
Right.
And that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Like police, like of that country should not be let into Canada or America. Like we're dumb. People are dumb if they allow them in, you know?
So sure. Yep. All right. Well, we're kind of over. We need to go. We're going to go on Rise TV now and talk about what the political leaders are saying about China and why they're not really being taking too many actions. So, Rob, do you want to read this for us?
Yep. So, you guys, we are about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.TV, where we'll explore in-depth details about the Chinese Communist Party's inevitable demise, Elon's colonization of Mars, and how everything going on in society right now is all connected, which you'll only hear on our private platform. So join us on Rise TV for just now $7 a month with our holiday discount on the yearly subscription and support our work. You'll get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. Now check out this trailer on Finding Courage and then join us on Rise.TV.
And don't stop believing.
There you go.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Well, hey, we're back.
We are back. So, all right.
Maybe we can get through these topics quick so we can do questions because there's quite a bit here.